Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Panning the Stream. My name is Dan Reichard. Sitting across the table from me is my wife, Bianca Reichard.
Hi.
How are you doing, honey?
Good. How are you?
Outside of trying to start this podcast for 45 minutes.
We've been trying for a really long time to start.
Yes, and we have a extremely squirrely dog who's being a big old weirdo right now.
We should compile like a bloopers episode for the end of the year.
Yeah, audio bloopers.
Fuck-ups.
Yeah, he's a weirdo. But hey, I think, Brazer, you being cool now?
Did you just call him Brazer?
It probably sounded like Brazer.
That's what it sounded
like.
No,
his name is Razor.
His name is Razor.
Yeah.
And what a Razor he is.
He is. Bianca.
Aptly named, yes.
We are back with, you were pretty happy. You lit up when we made the decision to come back to today's topic. Do you want to go ahead and let the folks know what it is?
Let's actually not. Let's just not tell them.
Okay, we'll just dance around it.
Yeah.
And show X.
We watched Terrace House.
We did, and we watched episodes 19 through 23, which is, again, confusing because it is Terrace House, Boys and Girls in the City.
Mm-hmm.
Part? Does it say season, or is it just...
Why is it... It's not that complicated.
It's weird because they broke it up into these two parts because they...
Oh, yeah, two parts. How complicated.
But they have numerous series, and so you have to, like... You can't just say Terrace House, season, whatever, episode, whatever. You have to say it's Terrace House, Boys and Girls in the City...
We'll
part
just...
two episodes, but part two doesn't start with episode one. Part two starts with episode 19.
Okay, yeah, it's so confusing. Just think of them all as their own show, like Boys and Girls in the City,
yeah.
Aloha State. They're all their own show.
Then why do we need parts?
Well, they're parts within the shows. Just think of them as separate TV shows entirely, because, you know.
Right, but I mean, we've got part one and part two, and part one has 18 episodes, and part two has 40-something episodes.
Yeah, I would think of that as like a season of this show.
Okay, so we're in a very long second season right now.
Well, we're five episodes into the second part.
Yes. I don't know if it is done being filmed, or if they're still adding on to it, but...
No, because I think they're actively filming Boys and Opening New Doors right now.
Okay, so that's the current Terrace House, is Opening New Doors.
Yeah, this is from like... 2016, maybe.
Right, yeah. I feel like I've heard them reference a lot of stuff from around then.
Yeah.
So let's get down to it. We have kind of a mix at the beginning here of kind of newcomers and oldcomers.
Why do I have so much hair on me?
We have a dog.
No, it's human. It's my hair. I'm surrounded by my hair or dog hair.
Yeah?
I shed so much. Don't you notice?
Humans do.
I told you before we moved in together, back when we were dating. I said, prepare yourself for all the hair that's going to be everywhere.
You did say that, and that was before we got a dog.
Yeah, the dog adds substantially.
It like triples it, at least.
Well, the thing about his hair is that there's it's a lot shorter, but there's more of it. My hair is very long and will like wrap around.
Yes.
Your fingers, anyone with long hair will be able to relate to the feeling of after you take a shower and like you just end up with like head hair in your butt.
Yeah.
And you have to like pull it out.
Yes.
It feels weirdly nice. It does. It's a weird feeling. I mean, you throw out the hair, obviously.
Right. Yeah. Keep your butt hair. Your butt
well,
head
it's
hair.
Butt head hair.
Yeah, of course. All right. Terrace House, Boys and Girls in the City.
I immediately remembered why I love this show so much.
Yeah. It's just, and you have watched a lot of Opening New Doors on your own. And I know that
yes.
You are, you watched it while I was out of town for something a while ago.
I watched it in secret. And then
yes.
They released the second part of it semi-recently. And I've been really enjoying it. I've watched everything that's on Netflix so far for Opening New Doors.
Yeah. And that's the newest one. So
yes.
It was nice to go back to Boys and Girls because that was our introduction to the series here.
Mm-hmm.
And we even have a couple people that have been around since the very beginning
mm-hmm.
that are still in the house as of this recording,
right.
Which is Uchi and Minori.
Yep.
So they were original ones. Can we remember the names? There was Makoto. There was Tap. There was... Minori? What was the girl's name? Does it start with a Y?
Mizumi?
Mizumi, right.
No, was it...
Mizumi was the girl that worked at the coffee shop, right?
Mizuki.
Yeah. And then what was the girl that Tap wanted to date? She was... Oh. I thought it started with a Y. It's been a while. It's been months since we...
And you have to remember, too, like, in my head, I have not only this Terrace House cast, but also all of Opening New Doors, and they're constantly cycling new people, so...
Well, apologies to that cast member. We know she's listening, so sorry that we forgot your name.
Also, we should probably preface this with the fact that we are going to not be able to pronounce a lot of these names.
Yeah.
So don't take offense. We're giving it our honest attempt, but we read from the subtitles.
Yeah.
And the subtitles don't have pronunciations.
Yes, we would never intentionally mispronounce, but we may certainly do that at times here as we introduce new cast members. So, yes, Uchi and Minori are still dating.
Still dating.
Things have not changed that much at the beginning of these five episodes. And when we last left, I think they were starting to do some of that stuff with Armon and Arissa, who were two of the newest people at the end of the last set of episodes we did. Armon being the guy from Hawaii.
Kickboxer.
Kickboxer guy. And then Arissa being the hat lady who likes hats and wants to make hats.
Yes, she's a hat designer.
Yes. Other than that, the show, we've got a new young actor panelist who does nothing and says nothing, Kentaro.
The token young male actor panelist never contributes anything.
No.
And this applies, too, to all of the Opening New Doors I've seen as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does he also sit next to the comedian guy with the glasses
always
and
the
guy just shits
spot.
On him for being young? And
always in the same spot, always not really contributing much. And every time he does say something, on the rare occasion that he does, it's always met with, like, oohs and ahs from the ladies among the panel. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Nothing big on that guy. But the rest of the panelist crew is the same. Probably won't talk about them a whole bunch. There's not a whole lot to talk about. Except for I have one question, and I want to get that out of the way right now. They always cut back to the panelists after something dramatic happens. And you always see the shot of them pulling out the earbuds and reacting to it. If they're all in the same room, why would they need earbuds? Why couldn't they just play it through speakers? Because they're not filming their live reactions to stuff. It's always after the fact. So why not just play it on a TV? They obviously all speak the same language.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just play it through surround sound and then be like, okay, now discuss. Why do they have to have earbuds in?
Well, I agree that what you're suggesting makes more sense. But then you have to remember... This show is, you know, a hip happening show.
It is a hip happening show, yes.
It's trying to appeal to the kiddos.
Oh, and the kiddos love their earbuds.
And the kiddos always have, they're always rocking some kind of earbud.
With their iPods.
And they have their tablet computers hand often. You can't see a young kid in today's America without an iPad in his hand.
Yep, taking iPad selfies.
And an earbud in his ear.
I only know one person that takes pictures with their iPad, and that's your father.
My dad brings his he has like one of those really huge shell cases.
Yeah, it's like
a
giant
Otterbox
thing.
That makes it look like
thing.
It's going to like the front lines or something. It's totally unnecessary.
Yes.
And then he brings it everywhere. He has a flip phone. I think it has some photo taking capabilities.
But the iPad, that's where the real horsepower is.
But my mom has an iPhone. Just take pictures with her phone.
I've seen the pictures your mom takes. I don't know.
Can I tell the digital photo frame story?
Sure. Yes.
We were at my parents' house one time, and my parents were out of town, so it was just me and Dan. And my mom has a real big thing for, like, digital photo frames. She fancies them quite a bit. And, you know, she had one of those ones where it's like, I think they're all like this, where you put the photos on a USB stick and just pop it into the frame, and it'll cycle through the photos.
Right.
And I guess she just pulled the entire library of photos from her phone onto the USB stick and then put it in the photo frame because it was cycling through pictures of, like, close-up photos of oranges.
Mm-hmm. Blurry.
The blurry oranges. The back of a credit card and the front of a credit card.
Yep, also very blurry.
No, those were the only ones that were clear.
Right. The numbers were totally clear.
Completely right. Clear. There was, like, the most random, just, like, utter darkness. Like, photos where it's completely black, but you just see the shine of light reflecting in my dog, in Lucian's eyes.
Yep.
The dog Lucian. Yeah, my dad looking really irritated, not wanting to be photographed.
She also once sent us a, when we were out of town once, sent us a video of Razor making a weird sound, and I tweeted it, and somebody responded, did you film this with a potato? And I was like, no, that's my mother-in-law's phone. She has an iPhone. I have no idea how she unlocked that quality setting for it or something, but it's some fantastic photography, I would say.
Gosh,
yes. So Terrace House. Here's the deal. So Armon and Arissa, it seemed like there was some stuff going on at the end of the last set. Right. Now, so we start here with, like, they go to this Christmas place and they're kind of walking around. It's very datey. Last we saw them, they went to that amusement park when Armon was really hungover and puking and stuff, and she wasn't really dissuaded by that. It seemed like there was something going on with
Armon
them.
Gave her a scarf on that outing, which seems to be the gift of choice for Terrace House cast members. Yes,
acne scarves.
Acne scarves.
So, yeah, I think we thought that Armon and Arissa were going to be more of a thing. But he pretty much, he takes her to the top of this building. And they're kind of overlooking the city at night and basically asks her to, like, go steady.
Yeah, is this, I wonder if this is a thing in among Japanese people where it's common to, like, formally ask someone to be a partner, or if maybe the producers of the show is encouraging this because it'd be, like, a lot more of a moment to have them, like, definitively ask, will you be my girlfriend versus, you know, it being kind of beating around the bush and slowly developing into something.
I would hope it's not the latter because, like, I think one of the appealing things of the show to me, and we've talked about it before, is how it seems like the producers are kind of, they're not intervening much.
Right.
And so I would like to hope that this was kind of the natural order of things and maybe things are just more formal there. But then again, I don't want to make assumptions about the entirety of Japan and how dating culture is based on this show.
Well, I wasn't really asking and expecting you to have an educated answer for me. It was more me just...
That would be a mistake.
Yeah, it was more me just speculating.
Yeah,
so don't ever think that me asking means that I expect you to have the answers.
You've known me long enough to not expect an educated answer. All right. And hopefully people that listen to Painting the Stream also don't expect us to research things.
I'm sure at this point they know what they're getting into.
I think so.
But you know what confuses me at times is how are they able to get such shots if it is this like unobtrusive way of filming? Because some of those shots are like how there had to at least have been like five people here with cameras.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of motion, though. So it's like, it wouldn't surprise me if they had, like, we see the kitchen a lot. So what if there were just, like, three cameras, you know, making cover angle, and then straight on, and then maybe a roaming one. Maybe a producer that the castmates are just instructed not to acknowledge at all. Because no one's ever looking at the camera.
Right.
And it, you don't get the sense that there are guys just running around the house all the time. So I would think they're kind of unmanned cameras. Otherwise, it'd be weird because, like, all those things, like, in the girls' room and stuff at night where they sleep, like, it does seem to be a still shot. And
I agree, but then there are also times, like, later in one of the later episodes that we watched when Uchi's crying and he's, like, in his bunk thing, like.
Yeah.
And then there's when they go on outings. For instance, just to reference Opening New Doors, even though you haven't seen it, there's one, like, thing where they go on a date to this mountain and, like, they have them going up the mountain and they have them coming to the top of the mountain and they have, like, all these really incredible shots. And it's like, how did they figure this out? I don't know.
I'm sure, like, field pieces, you got to send someone out, obviously.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would expect there to be, like, more than one person.
Yeah. There's probably roaming cameramen. But
as someone who spends a lot of time in front of a camera, do you find that you kind of forget that it's there?
With me, it's usually in that same context every time. It's like you're in the studio, you're at the desk.
Right.
And so there, it's like they're not moving. There's no one running around with the camera most of the time. You know, 90% of the time I'm in front of camera. So it's just like, oh, when you're in this room, when you're at the desk, that's when you're on and you're, you know, you're being filmed, basically.
Got it.
But yeah, so there's a lot of reaction stuff here of people, like, they can't believe that Arissa held hands with Armon, but wouldn't be his girlfriend. Which there is a lot of kind of confusion here, which we'll get to again at the end of this set of episodes about, like, the status of Armon and Arissa. And it is actually pretty clearly wrapped up by the end. And we might as well address that now while we're talking about the two.
Right.
So there is a bunch of just like, oh, she says she's like kind of interested, but she doesn't really want to like serious relationship now.
Well, she says when Armon asks her, will you be my girlfriend? She says, like, I see you more as a brother or a friend.
Yeah.
And I feel like once you say brother, you know, that kind of removes any potential for, you know, any kind of romance. I mean, I call you bro all the time, but that's, you know, that's right. For me, that's something I just say without even thinking about.
Right.
But, and I think, here's the thing, everyone kind of seemed to take it out on Arissa, like, why are you leading him on? That seemed to be what they were suggesting. I don't think anyone actually said, like, why are you leading him on, but that's obviously
sentiment.
What they were saying. I guess hand-holding over there, and they said this in the previous part, It's weird to say previous part. That's a weird thing to say. They said that it has like a significant meaning when people hold hands over there rather than here. It's just, you know, it's important here. I mean, when it happens, but it's not like this thing like, oh, you must have feelings for one another. You could hold hands with someone and just be like, oh, you're my friend.
Yeah, it's not like a vow for like a relationship or anything.
In my opinion, it isn't. No. I mean, maybe some people perceive it that way, but...
I could, in a way, see, like, you know, if I was early on in a dating situation or something and you're holding hands, like, yeah, you do kind of assume that, like, oh, things are going well. But it also doesn't mean, like, well, we are going to be boyfriend and girlfriend, you know. Like, it could just be like, hey, we like each other. We're doing this fun thing together.
Right, right.
Like,
so I don't really subscribe to the argument that Arista was leading him on. I think that she is a young, attractive woman and he's, you know, young guy, whatever. They're allowed to just hang out and have a good time and see if there's any interest there. And even if she is into him, maybe she's not totally into the idea of dating him or dating anyone, which is right. What we learn.
Yeah.
So I really don't – I didn't like how she was being kind of reprimanded for that among the panel and stuff because it's like – and the housemates because it's like, give her a break. She was just following – she was doing what she wanted to and having fun. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And she was honest with him. It'd be one thing if she was like, oh, well, you know, let's, you know, giving a real wishy-washy answer. But she kind of just said how she felt, and he seemed to perceive it. And maybe it was him just trying to hold out hope for himself and the potential relationship, but he kind of perceived it as like, oh, maybe she is considering relationship, but we just have to go out more. Where for me, I read it as like, eh, she just wants to be friends or, you know, just hang out and have fun, maybe make out or something, but it's not... You know, a whole thing.
Yeah, throughout the course of these episodes, there are a few times where somebody will ask Armand, like, hey, what's the deal? And he'll be like, I'm not really sure. So it is kind of hanging. They don't spend a lot of screen time devoted to this for a while until the very end. Mm-hmm. And they actually kind of address that, like, they haven't really talked at all in the new year, whether this is 2016 or 2017. They're like, they allude to it being like February or something at this point. And so they have not talked at all. Armand kind of goes in to be like, hey, so what's the deal? Because it actually shows them watching that Christmas date episode in the game room, which is just such a weird, awkward thing of like everyone else in the cast, like they've heard about like how that date went. Right. It's like, oh, now we actually see their faces and their reactions. Like, that's got to be such a weird thing.
It's got to be really weird. Like, it's like if one of your, like Tim Turry or something, one of our friends tells us about this crazy thing that happened to him. And like, you know, you listen to a story and you have this picture in your mind of what he's telling you. But then actually see it play out on camera.
It's like slickly produced thing with shitty music. Yeah. And it's just like,
and believe it or not, this is something that surprised me while we were watching. They don't use subtitles when they watch Terrace House.
Yeah. It's almost like they wouldn't need that at all. Yes.
Anyway.
So we got a couple new people at the end of episode 19 here. We met Hikaru Ota. We'll refer to him just as Hikaru.
18 years old.
Yes, 18 year old. He is a model, actor, construction guy.
18 years old is so... young.
Like, that feels like a child to me.
That is a child. Looking back, I mean, you feel like, oh, I'm an adult now, because you could buy porn and cigarettes or whatever, but you are so dumb when you're 18.
Yeah.
You don't know anything when you're 18.
It's the thing of, like, you know, when you went to college, you kind of thought, like, okay, adult stuff. And you know, I go back to Lawrence now, and I was like, wait, was the city taken over by a mob of children?
Right.
This isn't how old people were when I was there, even though it totally was the case. And also, yes, you were one of those idiots when you were that age.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a universal thing.
So it's really funny that they put someone who's 18, they mix them in with someone who's like, you know, I think Armand is 26 or 27 or something. Like, that's not a huge difference year-wise, but as far as stages of your life, a 26-year-old versus an 18-year-old is a huge difference.
Well, yeah, and Hikaru even says that when he was 17, he dated a 36-year-old, so it sounds like that actually would not be a thing that would stop him from getting involved with
anyone. I read that more as, like, he fucked a 37-year-old.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't know. I can't see... his parents really appreciating almost 40-year-old woman dating their 17-year-old son.
Yeah, yeah. He had kind of an interesting backstory. He is half Italian, half Japanese, and grew up in Brazil. Mm. So really interesting. I think he says, was he fluent in Portuguese?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So fluent in a few languages. Really interesting, just kind of background and everything. And then we meet Natsumi Saito. Believe it or not, she's a model and an actress.
Oh.
And weird, she's single. And so is,
everyone when they come
young
to the house.
Model single people, like crazy. Oh, and they're all open to the idea of finding
find love and have fun.
Weird. Unless you're Arista, apparently.
They call her Nachan. So
they do call her
Nachan. Should just refer to her as that.
Okay. I will try to do that. So yes, Nachan and Hikaru. And that kind of brings us into the next episode here, where it is kind of hinted that Armand has some interest early on in Natsumi. I thought that that was going to be more of a thing in these episodes, but there's not a whole lot of time dedicated to that. They go to the beach together. Does he kind of initiate that? Or I feel like that was one of those Natsumi things or Nachan things where she was kind of forward with it. Like,
she's very forward. Yes. She just kind of says how she feels and asks questions and doesn't beat around the bush or anything. I think from my recollection of it is she just asked him, let's go out, you know?
Yeah, I remember being like, whoa, okay, I guess we're doing this right away. Right. Great. Okay, so they decide they're going to go to the beach together. Mm-hmm. And in the same episode, she shows more of that forwardness by telling Minori straight up that, like, oh, it seems like your relationship with Uchi is cold and weird and you just make fun of each other and I can't even see you guys,
well,
like, kissing.
Well, this was, actually, I think that was the previous episode where she first came to the house, no?
I've got it under 20, but it's early on.
Oh, maybe
regardless.
I'm wrong, but yeah, I remember it was shortly after she came, like the day she came, they were in the girls' room and they were all just talking, and like Nachan was asking questions like, you know, you guys make fun of each other and stuff, and I guess for Minori, it seemed like she was making or insulting their relationship and making, like, you know, accusing it of being not a legitimate relationship. From my point of view, it just seemed like she was just being silly and just trying to make conversation.
Yeah.
I didn't think she was being abrasive or anything. Like, I would have jived with that just fine, you know, because I bust your chops all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's early on and, you know, maybe she is, if she is just busting chops, maybe she's just coming in and doing this very early on and knowing people and people don't really know how to take it. Because even as a viewer, a lot of how she was, I was like, is she stirring up shit here? Or is she just kind of like jokey? Like, they make a lot of reference, the panelists make a lot of references to the area she's from. And they're like, oh, yep, there's that attitude. There's that accent. There's that style. So maybe she's from like a part of the country that's known for being like really forward or something. Because, yeah, all five of these episodes I kind of spent being like, I wonder what the deal is with her. But I think we'll see more.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
So Minori and her, well, Minori doesn't really like her.
Right.
Based on the questions she's asking. And Minori kind of talks to Uchi about it and tells her, you know, what she was saying and everything. So you could tell there's a little bit of hostility brewing between those two. And later in one of the episodes, they're like sitting alone in the living room. And what's her name? Nachan starts to ask Minori about, like, what is she essentially asking, like, how does she spend her time or whatever.
Yeah, like, what keeps you busy? Like, it seems like you're at the house a lot.
Right, which I think if you're new to this house, you're with people, you're getting to know people you are living with presently.
Yeah.
It's a really weird situation. And I think it's understandable to want to be like, so what? How do you spend your time? Like, I notice you're home a lot. Like, I don't think that's unreasonable.
I think it's just, it's a weird clashing of personalities because Minori is so the opposite of that. Like, right. She is just not going to say what she thinks. And she's very, very passive. And Nachan
totally.
Seems
definitely
to be
path of least resistance kind
totally.
Of
person. And Nachan is like, you know, immediately, like, first week she's there, only spends a few days in the house because she's like going to China for a modeling thing. And she's always out and about and stuff. And she's just kind of wondering what the deal with Minori is.
Right. So Nachan and Armand go out to that, like, lunch beach date. And when they come home, our mom wants to prepare Pokey.
Yeah, yeah.
For Arisa. I guess he doesn't say that to Nachan, but they just make it together.
Right.
And then Minori and Uchi come home, and they see them cooking together in the kitchen, and Minori and Uchi are weirded out by it. So, like, Uchi immediately grabs Armand and, like, brings him into the living room and is like, what are you doing? Like, it's really weird.
It's a
really
very
awkward
thing, like, especially when Uchi is first reacting to it. Because, like, they're all just kind of in the kitchen just chatting and stuff.
Right.
And Uchi is kind of, like, acting weird all of a sudden. He's like, hey, let's come talk right now. And
right.
then everyone in the kitchen's like, what the hell's going on? And there's, at this point, there's almost kind of this brewing, like, uneasiness about Nachan, just wondering kind of what they're in for, because
right.
there was that point too where they were all just kind of hanging out and talking in the living room, and she came back and she's like, hey, what's going on with all these dirty dishes? It looks like somebody made udon noodles. Like, why are they dirty? Like, let's be focused here. Let's So I think they're all kind of like, oh god, is she gonna come in and just be this like hard ass or whatever?
Yeah.
So it's already kind of tense, and then Uchi pulling Armand away, it was kind of a weird thing.
It was a really awkward thing to do. It's kind of inconsiderate. I mean, think of how would you feel if, you know, you were in the kitchen with your friend, and then all of a sudden someone comes in and just, like, pulls the friend aside. Like,
yeah.
Just speak openly. You know?
Yeah, it's very awkward. And so they do decide to speak openly by having a house meeting, because everything just got so weird.
Well, you brushed over a really important thing that happened.
Which part?
When Uchi was talking to Armand, Minori and Nachan were in the kitchen alone.
Oh, right.
And they have a really awkward, like, tense exchange where Minori, obviously thinking the same thing that Uchi's thinking, which is like, why are you guys doing this alone? Asked her, what did you do today? She says, I went out with Armand. And she's like, why did you do that? And then Nachan's like, what do you mean, why did I do it? Like, Minori's asking really weird questions. And obviously there's a lot of hostility there already. And it ends up like kind of culminating in this weird, tense exchange that ultimately leads to this house meeting.
Yeah, and like throughout the meeting, Natsumi or Nachan is just being like, she's pissed. And I can't remember if they ever actually came to any kind of conclusive thing, or like, hey, let's all make up and be friends, or if it just kind of lingered.
No, I think they were about to let it linger. Gotta let it linger. Whatever that song is.
What?
That Cranberry song. I can't stand that woman's voice, or rest in peace, but you know that song? It's like one of their hits.
I only know the zombie song.
I'm such a good friend.
I only know zombie. That's the only one I know.
I'm so sorry for anyone who's listening to this with headphones. Anyway, they were about to be like, all right, well, everyone apologize and let's move on. But Nachan wanted to be like, no, let's figure this out so it doesn't happen again, essentially, is what she was doing.
Right.
Which I think should be applauded. You know, she didn't. It was an uncomfortable situation that I think everyone just wanted to get out of. So that's why they wanted to just wrap it up. But she actually wanted to be like, no, that isn't good enough. Let's actually talk about it.
Yeah. That is. I can appreciate that. I'm like,
right.
Hey, if there's an issue, let's get over the issue before we leave this table.
And I think they all kind of realize that between Minori and Nachan is kind of like a clash of personalities thing.
Yes.
Anyway, it seems to end on a okay note. I mean, definitely not as hostile. They kind of cleared the air. I guess it was smart that they did that, because I feel like,
yes,
you know, lesser people would just let it bloom until it becomes this thing where you can't even live there anymore.
Yeah, that could have spiraled into a much worse thing, but
right.
it doesn't get, well, there is an incident that happens
oh,
that we'll
yes.
get to, but that's completely separate from this. We start episode 22 with Armand and Hikaru get some shabu shabu, which nothing really happens there. I just want to bring up that it made me miss shabu shabu. We used
point.
To live near a shabu shabu place in San Francisco, and it quickly became my favorite place to eat. It's just a big old pot of broth. You make it spicy, and they give you a bunch of thin all-you-can-eat meat, and you dip it in there for like 2 seconds, and then it's already cooked, and it's tender and juicy and delicious, and you can get all-you-can-drink beer. And oh my god, I want to find a place in New York City that does that.
I'm sure there's shabu shabu in New York.
There is, and I gotta go.
Yeah.
Well, yes, it's very good. But this is around the time early on, Hikaru has even brought up that he wouldn't be against the idea of dating Arisa.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing really comes of that.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he kind of sits back and just sees and hears things about how she doesn't want a relationship
right.
and decides not to. Because that is brought up early, and then nothing ever comes of
yeah,
that, really.
Yeah, nothing comes of that.
Yeah, so we get to some stuff where Uchi is talking about Minori and how she just doesn't want to work, and she has, like, no ambition or drive or anything. And, like, he wants to. Like, he's really into, like, he's working at the hair salon, and he's got a drive,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Minori just doesn't. And, like, I really felt for Uchi here, because that's got to be a tough spot to be in.
Right.
Like, if you're both of that type, where it's like, hey, let's just never do anything, sure. But if you're if one person's super driven and the other person has absolutely nothing they're gunning for,
right?
That's got to feel really shitty.
I think. Minori even says at one point, removed from this, like I think early on in this set of episodes, she was like, "I could live forever doing nothing."
That's the thing. Yeah. Like she seems totally fine. Like if I wonder if her and Uchi had never gotten together, what that would have meant for how long she stays in the house, mm-hmm. whether it's longer or shorter or whatever, because they actually do decide that they're both going to leave at the end of February right. here. But it is very much up in the air, like what happens with them. And just to jump ahead, we don't know at the end of this set of episodes here, we don't know what happens, but I am anticipating that this, you know, when we finally do Google after we've watched all these episodes, if it's not covered in the show, which it mm-hmm. almost certainly will be, I bet they leave the house and then they broke up pretty quick afterwards.
Yeah, I could see that happening for sure.
Yeah, that's my guess.
But anyway, so Uchi is out of the house and they want to make food for themselves.
Yes, this they is a being catastrophe. Minori,
Armand, Hikaru, and Nochan's there, but she doesn't eat. So in the fridge is this fancy meat, this well-marbled piece of meat.
There is a shot of this meat on the stove that is some of the most mouth-watering, like, 4K meat footage I've ever seen. I turned it because they show it, like, twice. We come back to this meat several times, and every time they show it, I'm just like, God damn it, that looks so good. Looks like good meat. Good.
But this meat is a gift from one of Uchi's clients to him for, I guess, cutting his hair well.
Yeah.
So for Uchi, this meat meant a lot, but it was in the fridge, and I guess it had to be cooked in a specific way. Whatever, that doesn't matter right now. They, the people that are home, end up preparing the meat and eating all of it.
Yes. And the thing is, it's not just a gift. Like, Uchi, when he finds out, well, first of all, he's very mad. Very, very upset.
When he gets home and sees the empty box.
Yes, yeah. He's crushed. And he goes into great detail explaining why it meant so much to him. He's like, hey, these people come in all the way from, you know, town. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far it is, but he made it sound like they come a far way just to get their hair cut mm-hmm. at this place. And they gave this very special gift and with these very specific instructions. And it just meant a lot. This was right. not just like, hey, we gave you a good tip, or hey, we brought you some cookies or something. This was like, hey, this.
Well, even if it was just cookies or something, I think it would have been the same for him, because it was less about it being meat and more the principle of it. Like, someone, this represented how grateful the person was for the hard work that Uchi did.
Right, but I think when he's talking about how, like, it came with this note and these specific instructions, and they came from so far away, that it was more than just a gift or something.
That's
it was
what I'm
like,
saying.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, but I mean, instead of just like, hey, we brought you like a tin of popcorn or something, it was like this very, very specific and thoughtful gift.
Got it.
And so he's crushed by this. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because, like, he is super pissed off here. Like, maybe the most pissed I've seen anyone on this mm-hmm. show. And even then, it's very reserved. Like, there's no yelling. It's not the, like, you know, American reality show thing where it's screaming. Like,
yeah. Well, I also think, Dan, it wasn't – while the meat was a big deal for him, I think this was also, you know – a thing involving his kind of indecisiveness regarding the Minori situation. Mm. I think it was a mix of that too, like his dissatisfaction with the relationship. You know, because she's eating this gift that was a product of his hard work while she's just sitting around. I think that definitely had something to do with it too.
So do you think this was just a catalyst for him thinking more and more about,
well,
like,
they even,
oh, shit.
They even say it in the last episode we watched. They were like, oh, it's more than just the meat.
Yeah, yeah, and it does seem like it brings up a lot of questions in his head about, like, whether he actually wants to be with her or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not said super explicitly, but, like, you definitely get the sense that, like, he is thinking about breaking up with her. Mm-hmm. And the panelists are certainly openly talking about, mm-hmm. like, oh, God, is this meat going to cause this breakup? And honestly, I felt for Uchi in this. Like, yeah, I mean, he does take it very hard. It's like, you know, staying in bed and crying a lot and things like that, but I could see why, if you were already in kind of a rough spot with your relationship and everything, and then you come home and you find this, and also they're all being really jokey about it.
Right.
They're all being very just kind of flip and be like, oh, sorry, man, we ate your meat.
They think that he's taking it way too strongly.
Yeah, where I was like, yeah, it's a bit dramatic, but this is a big deal to Uchi.
Right.
And so I definitely did feel for him with this. And so at one point, Minori's sister comes over, who we have met before, and she's always seemed awesome. And it's just great because she's kind of like a fangirl of the show, mm-hmm. so it's got to be like, oh, you're a wrestling fan, you go backstage at Raw, and like, but she actually is like related to one of them and asks all these questions and,
well,
stuff.
I maybe, but also I'm realizing that everyone outside of Terrace House that has a speaking role in Terrace House only talks about Terrace House.
That is true. Like, all the like gardener guys that Armand works with and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, so how's it going, are you dating that girl from the show? Like, I don't know how widespread and popular the show is in Japan, but mm-hmm. like, Everyone is obviously talking
this
about it.
This is no game.
Yeah, but think about it too. Like, if you worked as a gardener or whatever and you found out one of your coworkers was going to be on some reality show, it doesn't matter how popular that show is. You're totally going to watch it. And
okay, but he references Nozomi, or what was her name? Mizuki, which was, you know, a lot earlier than when Armand started his employment.
That's true. So that would also even be weirder if you watched it beforehand and it's like, oh shit, that guy from Terrace House is going to come.
Yeah, I guess we have no way of knowing, but that's just something I noticed. But anyway, so Minori's sister coaxes some information out of Uchi.
Yes.
And then ultimately Minori ends up talking with Uchi and Uchi's crying and, you know, they kind of talk things over and Minori's being... Minori doesn't really blatantly say, I'm going to be better for you or whatever.
No.
She missed a really good hugging opportunity.
Yes.
I mean, your boyfriend is crying and you're not going to squeeze him tight?
I think you yelled, grab that man at the TV when this happened.
Yeah, I was really disturbed by that.
It seems like this. It's just like, I have no hope for Minori. Like, and she didn't even, like, that was the moment to be like, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I messed up, and I'm going to try to be better in the future.
You make
me
want to be a bitter man, yeah. Woman.
And it's like, she just seems so path of least resistance and just, like, it just seems doomed.
Right, it seemed like this was a relationship of convenience.
Totally. They're
Uchi
in this house.
Uchi seemed dead set on dating someone in the house, and he ended up with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a great situation. It seems to be on its last legs. But Minori's sister seems like an amazing friend. She seemed all about, like, okay, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to fix this thing. And she talks to him, and he seems to understand where she's coming from, and she gives him the, like, three options. Oh, wait, no, this is when Minori...
Yeah, you're confusing
Natsu,
her with
I'm thinking
Nichan.
Nichan. Yeah, she gave the three options.
She's
either.
The one that is the good friend.
Well, also the sister. Minori's sister.
Well, yeah, but
awesome.
Here's the thing about the sister. We only see her, like, three times in the entire show. So it's hard to say, like, oh, she's
That's
awesome
true.
Because we don't really know her.
I'll say she left more of an impression in those, like, three appearances than Minori has in pretty much the entirety of the show.
Yeah.
So I am a fan. So Nichan, at some point here, hints at, like, her and Hikaru are sitting on the couch in the living room. And she kind of, like, hints at, like, oh... could we ever be a thing?
Mm-hmm.
And they show her earlier talking to some makeup lady at a modeling shoot about how, like, oh, he's really young. Otherwise, he'd probably be my type or whatever, but really young. But then she, asks him, and he's like, oh, there's maybe a... No, she says there's a 2% chance for me that I would be interested in you. And then she kind of turns around by saying, like, oh, actually, maybe I would be interested. And then he goes, oh, well, if you might be interested, then it's 70 for me. And so... It's up in the air where that's going to go, but it definitely, like, that's kind of the seed has been planted for a future will they or won't they type thing.
Yeah, I mean, Terrace House seems like a great opportunity to just, like, have fun. Like, why not? I mean, it's you're supposed to do crazy shit on the show, and, like, nothing will guarantee you screen time more than hooking up with, you know, the token 18-year-old model guy in the house. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So, we'll see how that pans out, but that's pretty much at the end of this set of episodes we watched. I think we covered all the main things there. We got the meat crime, we got Nichan shaking things up. I think we are good for the Terrace House Power Rankings. Do you want to do that?
That's right. Let's do it.
Let's do the Terrace House Power Rankings.
Terrace House Power Rankings!
All right, let's go from the bottom up here. We'll start with number 6. I'm going to say at number 6, Minori.
Same.
Just, we've talked about it, but...
Path of least resistance, yeah.
Not great. And yes, actively did some shitty stuff and was not super... Didn't make things right. In a satisfactory way, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number 5, I'm going to say Hikaru.
Same.
Okay. Yeah. Nothing negative to say about him.
He's just kind of there.
Yeah, he hasn't really made an impact yet.
Right.
I think we're going to see that in the next set of episodes probably because I think we're going to see some stuff with him and Nichan.
Yes.
And speaking of Nichan, she is next. She is my number 4.
Okay.
Have we diverged?
I have Armand at number 4.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Okay. I'll say Nichan, the only reason I have her down at number 4 is because, like I said earlier, I still don't quite know if she's coming in to stir shit up or if she is just kind of that way, like means no harm and just is very direct.
I didn't see it at all as her purposely trying to stir shit up. I see it as she's just more forward than everyone else. I think by contrast, it seems that way because everyone else is so reserved in the house.
Yeah, and I think next time we do this, I think she will have probably gone up in mine a bit because I'm starting to feel the needles going in that direction that she's actually just forward in a cool way.
Right.
So you said it was Armand?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
What are your thoughts on him?
Well, again, he didn't really do much other than, you know, just brood around because Arissa isn't responding to his text or whatever, liking his Instagram post, who the fuck knows. But I kind of just also don't like the whole, like, she gave him an answer. Don't fucking make her feel bad about it or just hold it, you know, make it be this looming thing. Like, move on. She's obviously very busy. She doesn't owe you anything.
Yeah, it was obviously lingering in his head for a long time because it wasn't until the end of this fifth episode that they actually have the talk and she gives the much more direct, like, I don't want a relationship right now. So number three, I've got Arissa.
Same.
She's great. I like that she was very honest about, like, hey, listen, I just don't want a relationship. Hardworking. I just can't think of anything bad to say about her. Mm-hmm. She seems pretty cool. Number two, I had Uchi.
Okay. I had Nachan for number two.
Okay. I felt for Uchi here. I thought he was reasonable with everything. So I felt bad for him and, I want better for him. So he's at number two right now.
And that's kind of why I put him as number one.
So, okay. Yeah. So he's your number one.
Yeah.
And, so you had number two was,
Nachan.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think you said that you were pretty impressed with her so far.
Yeah. I already said my piece on Nachan.
Okay. And then I had Armand at number one.
Interesting.
Although with what you said, I see what you're saying. And I guess now that I think about it, I wonder why I did put him at number one other than him just seeming like a generally likable, good dude. It wasn't
a little boring.
I guess, yeah. Actually, now that after we've talked about it this whole episode, I was looking at my list and I was like, I don't really have a good reason for putting Armand at number one. Maybe it's just because I'm surprised.
You're waiting for him?
Well, no, remember when he first came in and I was just kind of like instantly just like, oh, here comes cool guy, surfer guy, and he's going to be a douchebag. And it turns out, oh, weird.
Because he was in Hawaii and he had tattoos?
I
like to kind of explore your weird judgments.
I'm glad you do because it really it shines a light on how a lot of those snap judgments could be completely wrong.
Mm-hmm, and they usually are.
Yeah, and in the future, it's maybe good to, you know, people will surprise you.
Yes.
And I don't know why I thought, like, honestly, it was before they even, like, it showed his full face. Remember they do the teaser things and it's like him on the beach talking about surfing and stuff. And I was like, here we fucking go with no real information to go on. And so I think that's probably why I put him at number one is like, now that I've seen a lot more of him, it's just like, oh, he's just a good guy. He's nothing. It's not that he did anything amazing in this set of episodes. I think it was just, I was glad to see, I don't know, whatever dumb first impressions I had were clearly unfounded.
Mm-hmm. So, right on.
Yep. So that'll be it.
That'll do.
For this set of episodes. Do we want to go into any suggestions here?
I have a short little suggestion
what
for
do you have?
People out there. Well, Dan, you know my fondness for C.O. Bigelow's lime coriander soap. I have it, a stock of it in the closet for when I inevitably run out. It's the best smelling hand soap there is. I got it when I was first in college, and then I didn't get it for a really long time, I don't know. And then I recently rediscovered it, and it just brings me back instantly to that time when I was in college.
Smells can do that.
And it's an amazing smell. It's not too strong. It's like a masculine smell. You don't have to worry about like being too flowery or anything. Oh. I highly recommend getting a bottle of this hand soap.
All right.
Your nose will thank you.
Oh. Also, suggestions, not ads, no matter how much it sounded like a catchphrase at the end. Suggestions are never
super,
ads.
Super not an ad. It's really expensive. Everything on that website is grossly overpriced, so there you go. It's not an ad.
Mine is, hey, if you travel any amount at all, even just once or twice a year for like the holidays, TSA's pre-check thing where you pay $85 and then you're good for 5 years is Razor.
Razor's a
Razor,
fan of it.
I am giving suggestions here, sir. Hey, no. Don't do that, all right? We're podcasting. You're not going to get the TREAT after this, all right? He understood all that. Yes, pay the $85. Go do the thing where they take your fingerprints and say that you're cool and you're safe to fly.
Yeah, yeah. And the added benefit is if you book with someone, the person, like I, every time Dan and I have booked together, I always get the pre-check thing too. So it's like two for the price of one.
Yes, it is fantastic. Even when my mom travels with like her daughters and her fiance and like a group of five or whatever, they will all get it. It's every single time I go to the airport now, it's just like, just breeze straight through. That was amazing. So get that if you travel at all. If you want to review Painting the Stream on iTunes, that would be very, very nice of you. You can go to iTunes and give us the old 5-star if you happen to be liking it. Let us know what you think. You can follow us at Pan the Stream on Twitter. You can email us at
Twitter.
Pa- Twitter, pantingthestream at gmail.com. Please, feedback, suggestion.
Please give us feedback and suggestions.
Listen to Bonk. She needs it.
I need it.
We would not have Terrace House in our lives without that. And we absolutely want to thank everyone who participates with our listener support program. If you would like to help out the podcast, keep the lights on, you can go to paintingthestream.com and you can help us out with $1, $5, or $10 a month. Or you can just do it one time and cancel. It's all very quick and easy to do. You can do it from your phone with Apple Pay if you want to. And Bonk, we have gotten some new supporters recently, and we have promised that we will get around one per episode to our supporters. So, Bonk, do you have a new haiku?
I do. This goes out to my friend Jabril. I'm probably saying his name wrong, but Jabril, we're such good friends. You know, I mean nothing by it. And this haiku is for you, bud. Jabril is a thrill. You can just tell by the way he gives to our pod.
That's good.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jabril.
Yes, thanks, Jabril. You're a thrill.
That's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks, Bonk, as always,
Thank
for joining
you,
me.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to Tom Mondo for the theme song.
That's my brother.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Have a great week.
Goodbye.